This article is brought to you by the best-selling book See It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to mediate across a language barrier when an interpreter is involved. A clear method for keeping mediation on track when words must travel through someone else. In short, language barrier mediation works when you treat the interpreter as a communication tool, not a co-mediator. Prepare together before the session, control your pacing throughout, and keep your attention on the parties, not the interpreter. Brief your interpreter privately before any party enters the room. Speak in short, complete segments so nothing important is compressed or lost. Direct every question and acknowledgement to the party, not the interpreter. Definition: language barrier mediation is a structured conflict resolution process in which a mediator works with an interpreter to facilitate communication between parties who do not share a common language, requiring specific adaptations to pacing, technique, and cultural awareness. I once watched a skilled mediator lose control of a session within the first 10 minutes, not because the conflict was too deep or because the parties were unwilling. She lost it because she had not prepared her interpreter. She was speaking in paragraphs, and every time she asked a question, she looked at the interpreter for the answer instead of the party who had spoken. By the time the first break came, both parties felt unseen. The mediation did not recover. Language barrier mediation is not simply mediation with a translator in the room. It is a different discipline. The communication chain is longer. The margin for error is narrower. Emotion, nuance, and tone all pass through another human being before they reach the person they are meant for. That is a significant variable, and most mediators are not trained to manage it. This article gives you a practical, ordered process for doing exactly that. If you're about to sit down with parties who do not share a language, here is how to prepare, how to run the session, and how to avoid the mistakes that quietly sink even experienced practitioners. Why mediation with an interpreter is a different skill entirely. Most mediators know how to manage emotion, hold neutrality, and move parties toward common ground. Those skills still matter here. But language barrier mediation adds three layers that the standard toolkit does not cover. First, the communication chain is longer. You speak, the interpreter translates, the party hears something. That chain creates delay, compression, and the possibility that emotional content will be softened or shifted in ways you cannot detect. Second, the power dynamic in the room changes. If one party is more fluent in the working language than the other, they may dominate the session simply through verbal ease. Third, cultural context does not always transfer. A phrase that signals respect in one language may carry indifference in another, and neither you nor the parties may notice. These are not obstacles to good mediation. They are conditions to prepare for. And preparation is where this work is won or lost. If you want to understand how unmet needs beneath the surface of a conflict can shape what parties say and do not say, the article on how unmet needs drive team conflict and what to say to restore synergy will give you a useful foundation to carry into any interpreted session. What needs to be in place before the session begins? You need two things before any party enters the room: a briefed interpreter and a clear set of ground rules ready to deliver. A professional interpreter is not automatically a skilled mediation interpreter. The two roles require different things. In a court or conference, an interpreter's job is to convey content accurately. In mediation, they also need to preserve tone, flag cultural nuances, and maintain neutrality. If your interpreter has not done this before, they need to understand those expectations before the session opens. Meet privately with your interpreter for at least 15 minutes before the session. This is your pre-session briefing, and it is non-negotiable. Use it to explain the mediation process, clarify their role, and establish your working protocol together. The 7-step process for mediated sessions across a language barrier. Step 1. Brief the interpreter before anyone else arrives. Begin your private briefing by explaining that their role is to interpret, not to advise, advocate, or soften. Ask them to interpret consecutively in the first person. This means when a party says, "I feel ignored," the interpreter says, "I feel ignored," not "she says she feels ignored." That shift from first person to reported speech is small in wording and enormous in impact. It keeps the emotional ownership with the party where it belongs. Ask the interpreter to raise a hand or signal you clearly if they need a moment of clarification before interpreting. Tell them you will pause regularly to make this possible. Ask them to flag any culturally specific content that may not translate directly, so you can explore it rather than gloss over it. Step 2. Set ground rules that account for the interpretation layer. When the parties are seated, open the session by establishing ground rules that are specific to this kind of mediation. Do not use the same opening you would use in a monolingual session. The three ground rules that matter most here are these: speak in short segments so interpretation stays accurate, address the other party directly rather than speaking about them, and treat the interpreter as a communication tool, not a participant in the dispute. Deliver this clearly and simply. A script that works. Before we begin, I want to set a few agreements that will help all of us. Please speak in short sections, no more than two or three sentences at a time, so that nothing is missed in translation. When you speak to each other, not to the interpreter. And if at any point you are not sure your meaning has come through, tell me, and we will slow down and check. Step 3. Control your own pacing throughout the session. This is where many mediators struggle most. When the room is tense, the natural instinct is to speak more. More explanation, more framing, more scaffolding. In a language barrier mediation, that instinct will undermine you. Long statements compress badly. The interpreter must decide what to carry and what to condense, and the things that get condensed are often the things that mattered most. Speak in units of meaning. One idea, one sentence or two, then pause. Let the interpretation complete before you continue. Watch the party receiving the interpretation, not the interpreter. Their face will tell you whether the meaning has landed or whether something has been lost in translation. Step 4. Direct every question and acknowledgement to the party, not the interpreter. This is the mistake I see most often in practitioners who are new to this work. A party finishes speaking. The interpreter finishes interpreting. The mediator turns to the interpreter and says, "Can you ask them how that made them feel?" That question should go to the party directly. How did that make you feel? Eye contact, posture, and physical direction all communicate respect and attention. When you turn to the interpreter instead, the party reads it as being spoken about rather than spoken to. That erodes trust quickly. Your body should stay oriented toward the party who is speaking or who you're addressing. The interpreter is a channel. Treat them that way through your physical presence, not only through your words. Step 5. Use caucuses strategically. A caucus, where you meet privately with each party separately, is useful in any mediation. In a session involving a language barrier, it is even more valuable. The presence of an interpreter in joint sessions creates pressure. Parties may feel exposed, uncertain whether their words came across as intended or inhibited by the mechanics of the process. Private sessions remove that pressure. They give you a chance to check in on how the process feels, to clarify anything that seemed unclear in joint session, and to explore interests and concerns that a party may not want to voice in front of the other. When you return to joint session, you carry that understanding with you, and the conversation is sharper for it. For practical tools on staying grounded during tense conversations regardless of the setting, the core framework is worth applying in your caucuses as well as your joint sessions. Step 6. Refrain through the interpreter with care. Reframing is one of the most powerful tools in a mediator's kit. It takes a charged statement and restates it in a way that opens rather than closes. In language barrier mediation, reframing must survive translation to do its work. A reframe that is subtle in one language may land as blunt or even dismissive in another. When you reframe, keep it simple. Avoid idiomatic language. Avoid metaphor where you can. A reframe like "what I hear you saying is that you felt left out of the process travels better, that sounds like you were shut out in the cold." After you deliver a reframe, watch the party's face and ask directly whether you have captured their meaning. That question is not a sign of uncertainty. It is a sign of respect, and both parties will feel it. Step 7. Confirm understanding before closing any agreement. Before you close the session or document any agreement, verify that both parties have understood the same thing. Do not assume that because words were interpreted, meaning was shared. Ask each party to describe in their own words what they understand has been agreed. This is standard good practice in any mediation. In language barrier mediation, it is essential. A script for this. Before we close, I want to make sure we are all on the same page. I'm going to ask each of you to say, in your own words, what you understand has been agreed today. This is not a test. It is how we make sure nothing has slipped through. If their accounts differ, you have not reached agreement yet. Go back into the substance and resolve the gap before anyone leaves the room. Adapting this process for remote mediation sessions. Remote language barrier mediation is now common, and it adds a layer of complexity that requires specific adjustments. Audio-like compounds the cognitive load on the interpreter. Visual cues are reduced and sometimes lost entirely. Breakout rooms replace the physical caucus. Brief your interpreter on the platform protocol before the session, not during it. Agree on a signal they can use in the chat to indicate they need you to pause. Speak in even shorter segments than you would in person, because audio delay means overlapping speech creates confusion for everyone in the chain. Use breakout rooms deliberately. Send each party to a separate room during caucuses, and take the interpreter with you when you visit each room privately. Do not leave the interpreter in a main room with one party while you're in a breakout with the other. That situation creates an informal back-channel conversation that you cannot monitor, and that can damage neutrality. If you're dealing with a dominant voice in the session who's taking advantage of the slower pace of interpreted exchange, the guidance on how to deal with dominant voices in a discussion applies directly to your role as mediator here. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What tends to go wrong and how to correct it? The mistake. Letting the interpreter manage the emotional temperature of the room. Why it happens. When a party becomes upset, mediators sometimes lean on the interpreter to soften their language or calm things down during translation. What to do instead? Your job is to manage the emotional temperature, not the interpreter's. Address the party directly. I can see this is difficult. Take a moment if you need to, then continue. The mistake. Neglecting the interpreter's own well-being across a long session. Why it happens. Mediators plan breaks for the parties and forget that interpretation is cognitively exhausting. What to do instead? Build in short breaks every 4 to 5 minutes. Check in with your interpreter during those breaks. A fatigued interpreter makes errors, and errors in mediation are costly. The mistake. Failing to address a visible cultural misread in the moment. Why it happens. Mediators fear that naming a cultural difference will feel accusatory or derail the session. What to do instead? Name it neutrally and move through it. I want to check something, because I want to make sure this landed the way it was meant. Can you tell me how that came across to you? That question, asked clearly, is not a disruption. It is good practice. The article on how to resolve interpersonal tension through empathy offers additional tools for those moments where cultural misreads have already created distance between the parties. For handling conflict that flares during a structured session, the companion piece on how to handle conflict during meetings covers the recovery techniques that work in real time. Your pre-session checklist for language barrier mediation. Use this before every session that involves an interpreter. Check each item before the first party enters. Number 1. You have met privately with the interpreter for at least 15 minutes. Number 2. The interpreter understands they will interpret consecutively and in the first person. Number 3. The interpreter knows how to signal you when they need a pause or clarification. Number 4. The interpreter has agreed to flag cultural nuances rather than silently adapt them. Number 5. You have confirmed that neither party has a prior relationship with the interpreter. Number 6. You have prepared the ground rules specific to this session and can deliver them clearly. Number 7. You know how you will structure the caucuses and who the interpreter accompanies. Number 8. You have a closing verification script ready to confirm shared understanding before any agreement is recorded. This checklist does not replace experience, but it will catch the gaps that experience alone sometimes misses. Before your next mediation across a language barrier. The mediator who first taught me about interpreted sessions said this, and I have carried it for decades. The interpreter is the bridge, but you're still the architect. The bridge does not design itself. You determine how it is built, how it is maintained, and how traffic flows across it throughout the session. Language barrier mediation demands the same core skills as any other mediation: clear direction, genuine presence, and the courage to name what is happening in the room. It simply demands them with greater precision. Every step in the process above can be practiced before you need it. Run a mock session with a colleague playing the interpreter. Rehearse your briefing. Test your reframes by writing them in plain language and reading them back aloud. The deal method, which you can explore in how to use the deal method to resolve conflict that are fracturing team synergy and how to use the deal method to resolve workplace tension before it escalates gives you a reliable structure to adapt into your interpreted sessions when a conflict has been running a long time before it reaches the table. Language barrier mediation, done well, is one of the most demanding and most rewarding forms of this work. The parties who need it are often the ones most isolated by the process. When you get it right, you give them something rare, the experience of being genuinely heard across a barrier they did not choose. Frequently asked questions. What is language barrier mediation? Language barrier mediation is a conflict resolution process conducted across two or more languages with an interpreter present to relay meaning between parties. The mediator must adapt their pacing, questioning, and communication style to account for the translation layer between them. How do you brief an interpreter before a mediation session? Meet the interpreter privately before the session begins. Explain your role, the mediation process, and the ground rules. Ask them to interpret consecutively in the first person, flag cultural nuances they notice, and raise a hand if they need clarification before they interpret. What are the biggest challenges in language barrier mediation? The three most common challenges are losing emotional accuracy in translation, the mediator directing attention toward the interpreter rather than the party speaking, and cultural assumptions that go unnamed. Each one can quietly undermine trust between the parties if left unaddressed. Can language barrier mediation work in remote or online settings? Yes, but it requires additional preparation. Brief the interpreter on platform protocol before the session. Use separate breakout rooms for caucuses. Speak in even shorter segments than usual, since audio lag compounds the cognitive load for the interpreter and both parties. How should a mediator handle a moment when the interpretation seems inaccurate? Do not challenge the interpreter in front of the parties. Pause the session, acknowledge that you want to make sure nothing was lost, and ask the interpreter to clarify in a private moment. Then verify by asking the party to confirm their meaning in their own words. What ground rules matter most in a mediation involving the interpreter? Three ground rules matter above all others. Speak in short segments so interpretation stays accurate. Address the other party directly rather than speaking about them, and treat the interpreter as a communication tool rather than a participant in the dispute. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling books 8 Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.